Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
Remember all those big dreams you used to have, and then life made other plans? With a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, it's time to bring those dreams back. Start your own business or commit to van life with a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. Now, you could win the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter Mode 4x4 that we have. Enter the Dan Patrick Show Ultimate Camping Rig Sweepstakes. To enter, get official rules. Visit danpatrick.com or foxsportsradio.com. Have to do it by February 2nd for your chance to win.
Get right to the romance and find the way to wow this Valentine's with 1-800-Flowers.com. From classic roses and bouquets to decadent chocolate-covered berries, gourmet treats, and more. Surprise your Valentine with 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, get the 18-stem Enchanted Rose Medley for $39.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for $10 more. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in.
Hey, welcome into the All Ball Podcast. It's your boy Doug Gottlieb here. My man Steve Hawkins is going to join us. A long time, 20 years he was a coach, 17 years the head coach at Western Michigan. Was relieved of his duties in March, actually during or right before quarantine. He's going to join us, kind of reflect on his time getting to know the late, great John Wooden and what his run was like at Western Michigan. I want to give you a couple thoughts, though, on the last dance. First thing is this. Can we stop with the Scottie Pippen was made to look bad? Scottie Pippen was actually, I think, made to look good. He was made to look like his contract was terrible. He was made to look like he was a warrior at the end when they won the title and he was playing with a bad back. And that he was the one who had the class to say Jerry Krause was the greatest general manager of all time. So those parts made him look good. Some of it, you know, his own words were, did that. But the only negative parts were real stories. I'm sorry. He was the guy who was considered soft. He did have the migraine against the Pistons in game 7. He was the one who refused to go in the game in 94. And look, when they asked him about it, he said, "I wish it didn't happen, but I would do it again." No one made him say that. No one, this is not Michael Jordan calling him out. And when Jordan did call him out for being selfish, he was being selfish. Jordan also said that he's the greatest teammate he's ever had, and there would be no Jordan without Pippen. Like, what are we supposed to do? Like, what kind of documentary did you want? Is it a perfect, even middle of the road, not taking any side documentary. No, it's not. It's not. And I told you it wouldn't be. But Scottie Pippen's not made to look like anything other than Scottie Pippen. And much like Horace Grant, he got a huge paycheck when he left town. That's what championships do. I think that's really the part that has changed in the NBA. For the most part, guys who got rich after they won a title. That's why Jordan's mentality was it was all worth it if you to finally win, right? To go all in to win, because he was never making a bunch of money in his NBA salary. He's all on endorsements. He didn't get any endorsements unless you won something. That changed after he left because of what they built and because of what the new CBA looked like. And so now, guys, they make so much money that if they lose, it hurts them, especially the real competitors, it hurts them, but it is not as devastating to their livelihood and their long-term financial success. That, I think, is the biggest change. And do I think Jordan didn't snitch on anybody for the cocaine, weed, and women of his first NBA team? He didn't name any names. Orlando Woolridge was on the team. We all know he was in that room, right? No one, that's not a surprise. These are not breaking stories. The Horace Grant thing, he thought Horace Grant was the snitch. But it wasn't like they didn't give Horace Grant a chance to reply and respond. Of course they did. We just don't believe him because, well, why would you be friends with the writer? The writer's writing a book and all of a sudden you won't talk to the writer? Stop it. Stop it. I loved it though. It reminded me of just how good the NBA was back then. And I hope we can get back to that place. In regards to Horace Grant, I mean, I liked Horace Grant in their first run. I don't know if he was the snitch. You know, I don't. Do I think he was a source? Absolutely. He even said he had a long relationship with Sam Smith, the writer. So he has a long relationship. Sam Smith writes a book. You don't think none of the stuff came from Horace Grant? Come on. I was born night, not last night. And Jordan has the ability to compartmentalize. Like, you can be a snitch and not be a horrible teammate. For Pippen, you can be selfish and not be a horrible teammate. I think that's what he means. And if you think Jordan's too harsh on a guy who he played with, keep in mind that even though he got paid and he got a huge contract, Horace Grant went to play for a division rival, a team that ultimately vanquished Michael Jordan in the NBA playoffs when he just came out from baseball in 95. So Jordan, who's competitive as hell with his own teammates, let alone his opposition, you don't think that if one of his teammates left mid-career and went to an opposition he played in the playoffs, that he would have something for him? Of course he would. Why? Because that's Michael Jordan. Look, I like the documentary. Was it perfect? No. Did it miss some things? Sure. But guys are acting like no one got in a fight in practice, like, or that Jordan was a bully, or I don't know, or that he shouldn't have said, you know, bitch, fuck you to Larry Bird. What, are we all supposed to be saints? Nobody speaks this way? Not the sport I know. The sport I know that even your friends you can call the B word to. I play with a guy, Brett Robisch. Dave, his dad, played in the NBA, was a great player at Kansas. And Brett used to score, and I'd be like, good bucket, Brett. And he was like, yeah, you bitch, give me the ball some more. Come on, bitch, stop being scared, give me the ball, right? Like, this is in the middle of a game. When I played in Russia, I had a couple teammates, and literally the first word out of their mouth was blet. Where you going, blet? What you doing, blet? What you eat, blet? Which is, blet is bitch. That's what they would do. This is one of those, hey, I understand you think you're looking at people who are like you and talk like you, but they aren't. They absolutely aren't. They're not wired like you. Jordan definitely isn't wired like you. Hell, Jordan's not wired like me. And that's okay. But his purely driven competitiveness based upon success being measured by if you win or lose, he's a success. And I loved hearing every minute of it. I was fascinated by it. I can't believe that the Jazz didn't just outright double team him once he crossed half court. And we've had this, well, they had to call a timeout. Why'd you have to call a timeout? Why don't you have a signal for if Michael's isolated at the end of the game, we're automatically doubling. Let's just make somebody else beat us. Scottie Pippen can't move. Dennis Rodman can't make anything other than a layup. Let's make somebody else beat us. And conversely, at the offensive end, on the Malone turnover, that was actually mostly on John Stockton. Back in the old days of the NBA where you had to clear the paint to follow your guy, to stay within a couple feet of your guy, John Stockton was only being pressured by Steve Kerr. Let's not act like it's Michael Cooper or some freak defensive athlete. right? So you're dribbling the ball up the court. You're John Stockton. Take your time. Take a look. Wait till Jordan clears before you feed the ball in the post. He didn't. Malone played soft and got the ball stolen from him. That's how it happened. I think that one other part that's missed from the talk of the Bulls management and even Horace Grant or whatever, look at the contracts that Horace Grant signed. A huge contract. He was one of the top five played players in the NBA for the next couple of years after leaving the Bulls. And obviously Scottie Pippen made like $100 million after leaving the Bulls. And I understand that the Bulls look cheap. All you have to do is research what Jerry Krause apparently wrote in an unfinished memoir that he was writing. And I tweeted it out. And essentially it's this: like, one, they met after the season in 98. Okay. And after the season in 98, they had all the doctors, all the medical people, front office people, whatever, try to assess things. Like, look, Luke Longley's done. Phoenix offered him a 5-year deal. 3 years later, I think he was out of the league. He just wasn't moving the same. Now, is a center replaceable? Sure. Sure. Dennis Rodman was done. He played 2 more years with 2 different teams, Lakers and Mavericks, but he was washed. So now you got to replace those 2 players. You'd have to beg and plead Pippen. And though Pippen played all 50 games after the lockout shortened season and played 40 minutes a game, one, he was never really the same. And two, and this is maybe most important, the information they had at the time, not only was Pippen ticked and wanted to be paid really, really well, and it would have taken a lot of cajoling, also consider that Pippen had surgery 2 consecutive years. Like, his body was, then he hurts his back, you know, in the playoffs, hurts his back in the playoffs, had ankle surgery the year before. So are you going to sign huge money, just pay a bunch of money to Scottie Pippen when you don't know of his health status? And then he had Jordan, and I don't know how people remember. Remember he cut his finger? Look at his retirement thing. His right index finger, he cut badly on a cigar cutter. Like, that's an all-timer, right? Cut on a cigar cutter. But he did. So I mean, we look at it like the Bulls were just, Ron Harper was basically washed up. We make Steve Kerr out to be, and Kerr is an incredible leader, an incredible player. But he never started a game for the Bulls. Like, he was just a shooter off the bench to fit with what they did. So I think they left at the perfect time. I just do. Would you have rather them getting beaten in the playoffs? This is like Jordan is basically the boxer that says, I want to go out in my sword. You know, don't throw in the towel. I want you to knock me out. And you're like, you know what? You've had enough. And oh yeah, by the way, you go out as the best player, hitting the game winning shot on the road. You know, good night, drive home safely. I think it ended perfectly. Was the documentary the greatest documentary I've ever seen? No. Was it entertaining? Absolutely. Did I learn something? Sure. And there's some things to emulate there. Look, let me just kind of sum up the Last Dance. First, in terms of the game action, I still can't believe that Utah didn't double team Jordan. Like, I can't believe it. You know, rule number one in basketball, make somebody else beat you. Yes, Steve Kerr hit the shot in the previous year. Okay. Now, in this particular year, you had Dennis Rodman, couldn't score if you locked him in the gym. Scottie Pippen couldn't move. Obviously, it was really smart that out of the timeout, you had, you know, even defensively, remember, the Bulls had gone small. They had Rodman, but then they had Kukoc and Kerr and Jordan and Pippen. Which, by the way, if anybody wants to argue how the Bulls would be today, they'd be awesome, because that would be their small ball lineup. And Robin was an unbelievable defensive player. Couldn't score, but could pass, could dribble handoff, could do all that stuff. They'd be fine. They'd be absolutely fine. And you'd have to think that Kukoc and Kerr and Jordan and Pippen would extend their range and shoot at a higher percentage. It was interesting to watch those guys before game 6 take, you know, what looked like 30-foot threes, and they were all casting them instead of shooting the basketball. Like, it's really remarkable how guys have improved their range. Even over the last 5 to 10 years, that's the Steph Curry effect more than anything. Now, Damian Lillard, famous for his range, his ability to shoot shots, you know, step inside midcourt. It's crazy. But I can't believe that they didn't make Scottie Pippen beat you with a jump shot. Tell me the jump shot that Scottie Pippen made to win a big playoff game. And he's got a bad back? Like, that's fucking coaching malpractice. Make Scottie Pippen beat you. Make Dennis Rodman beat you. This is basketball 101. I can't believe it. I thought Stockton, you know, didn't read the defense, and it was at least partially his fault. And you got to wait till Jordan clears. Remember the old, you know, illegal defensive rules. There was no 5 second count dribbling the basketball. You can hold the hand of Steve Kerr so he can't reach in there. You can actually grab his hand. You wait till he's open. You wait till he clears, and then you feed the basketball. And then you either cut through or wait, just spot up and wait. But he didn't. He kind of got rid of it quick. I didn't think it reflected well on Stockton. Now Stockton also got a good look out of the timeout in the last play, and Robin was late to close on a switch. I there was some basketball analysis stuff that I thought was missed there. That I was kind of disappointed in. Bummed I didn't get to talk to Tech's winner. Didn't talk to Peter Vesey. It was weird. But I thought, you know, all the guys who are in the stories, most of them got to speak and defend themselves, with the exception of Jerry Krause, who, look, it's a complicated legacy. It really is. You know, though there have been other dynasties since, the Spurs is really interesting, which is not really a dynasty because they didn't win back-to-back. They could have won back-to-back when they beat the Heat. They lost the Heat the first year, beat the Heat then the next year. It's a complicated legacy with the Bulls and with Krause, but it's not like, and they're not, so not the only one. Obviously, let's see what happens with Golden State. We saw what happened with Miami, with Boston only.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it. $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21+, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort, performance tires for sporty handling, all-terrain tires for on and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Pirelli tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Pirelli test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike, and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Winning one, it's really hard to win multiple, let alone six titles in 8 years. Think about what Phil Jackson was able to accomplish, right? I mean, he won three in a row with the Lakers. So in six consecutive seasons, he won an NBA championship. That's crazy. But I walk away thinking Jordan's the greatest ever. I thought he was beforehand. He had an indomitable will. He forced guys to work hard. He forced them to get in line. And if you're offended by his way of leadership, then they probably got rid of you if you couldn't do it, couldn't hack it. It's not for everybody. It's not. And it's a sacrifice. But the sacrifice is worth it because those teams go down as, you know, the greatest run of the modern era. Just does. And what's crazy is that a lot of those guys, you forget, they weren't on all six teams. Some of them weren't on three teams. That's my take. All right, let's get to Steve Hawkins, the now former head coach at Western Michigan.
If you love to be remembered as the person who gives the best birthday gifts, I'm here to tell you that 1-800-Flowers.com is your ultimate birthday gifting destination. 1-800-Flowers has thoughtful and artfully created options that are guaranteed to deliver the best birthday surprise. Shop thousands of unique gifts at 1-800-Flowers.com for exclusive offers and great values. To order today, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, let's welcome him in. He's a longtime, frankly, legendary coach at Western Kentucky. And now looking for what's the next thing? Remember, they won two MAC tournaments, two regular season MAC championships. They won the MAC West eight times over during his tenure. He's won 428 games during his college coaching career. And Steve Hawkins joins us here on the All Ball Pod. Hawk, how are you?
I'm doing well, Doug. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm trying to think back. Snow Valley, but I don't remember what year. And I don't remember if you were actually my head coach or simply a coach there. Because, and I'll tell you why I want to get to, but what do you remember about first Snow Valley basketball, Westmont College in Santa Barbara? What are your memories when I bring that camp up?
Do you really want me to say it?
Yeah. Yeah, man, you can say, everybody knows I was an asshole when I was a kid. I'm an asshole now, so what's the difference?
Okay, well then good. You can say it about yourself. No, it was Snow Valley basketball camp in, gosh almighty, I'm going to say late 80s, maybe, early 90s. And Charlie Sands and Herb Livesey, the outstanding the directors of the camp, come to me after about day one of this particular week and said, hey, listen, we got a kid, okay, and I'm telling you now, he's a pain in the ass, but we think you're the guy to handle him. And I said, okay, so they put you on my team, and you weren't an issue. You questioned things, but you weren't an issue at all. So from then on, so I don't know how old you were. I mean, I'm going to say middle school, maybe.
Yeah.
I went there,
I think, from like time I was 10 or 11, probably till I was like 14. Maybe they let me in. So part of the deal was this. I think I was a freebie, right? So
yeah,
it's one thing to be a pain in the ass. Like, I was more of a pain in the ass in the dorms, just playing pranks and being a jackass, you know, whatever. Taking out the slats of bunks, putting Icy Hot in like a roommate's underwear, like that kind of stuff, right? Like not when it came to the work. Like when it came to I love basketball. Like that wasn't the issue. It was just, you know, that was my way of having a good time. But it's one thing to be a pain in the ass. It's another thing when everybody else's parent is paying probably at the time $300 and you're not, you know, your dad's getting you in gratis. And I don't know if you remember, there used to be two sessions. And so, you know, one session would end on like a Saturday midday and the next session would start on a Sunday afternoon. And so I would stay for my dad would just take me up and drop me off and then, hey, we'll come get him in 2 weeks. Right. So then, you know, so like they're doing a solid of letting you stay for that extra day when no one's around, doing all these things for you, doing it for free. And then, yeah, you're paying the ass in the dorm. So I think that's why I irritated Herb and Charlie more than anything else.
It was a boot camp. It was unbelievable. I've been working for a company called Sports World that ran all of John Wooden's camps and as well as Pat Riley's at the time.
Yeah.
Paul Wilt.
Yeah.
People like that, and I was that was my summer job, and then I found out about Snow Valley through a mutual friend that had also worked these camps. Went up there and was like, holy cow, country club. Not that Coach Wooden's camps were country club, but the first session at Snow Valley was 6 a.m. you know, and the last game went off at midnight, you know. So it was I remember Charlie Sands coming out and saying, hey, listen, to campers, there's 400 campers there. Sleep is overrated. That's the first line every week at camp, and the camp would go crazy. And it was solid, that's for sure.
Yeah, the first day and a half, no basketball, right? You do shooting drills and no basketball, footwork, defense, yeah. Spacing, all the little things. Okay, so this is an honest question. I don't know if you know the answer. They sold Snow Valley, the Westmont version of it, and to the Nike camps, whatever. And there's also one at UC Santa Barbara. There's one in Iowa. I've been told some of the same coaches run it. Are there, like this summer, are there any basketball, are there basketball camps like that around, period? And are there any basketball camps that are going to be around this summer?
Yeah, no, I don't think that they're number one on Snow Valley. I'm not sure what happened to it. I believe, I don't want to speak completely out of place here, Doug, but I believe that Snow Valley, there was a guy named Don Showalter who's very, yep, very heavy with USA Basketball, and he used to work, a tremendous person, and I used to work Coach Wooden's camps with him as well, and I believe that he got involved with Snow Valley, and that may be the Iowa, because he was a high school coach in Iowa. But in terms of camps, I don't know of anybody that has been cleared because of COVID. I don't know of anybody that has been cleared to have basketball camps this summer. I spoke with Mick Cronin out at UCLA. We texted back and forth, and I know they weren't having any, and that was as of, gosh almighty, maybe 3-4 weeks ago.
How did you get to work John Wooden's camp? Because I know you got a chance to be really close with Coach Wooden, especially in the summers. How'd that come to be?
Yeah, I was coaching in Southern California. I just graduated from high school. A fledgling football career was done because of knee injuries, and so I was going to Ventura Junior College, and had to get into. And my parents were on my butt about getting a job, and I always knew I always wanted to coach, and not to get too deep into the weeds on this, but basically I found a job board, and there was a freshman coach spot available at Villanova Prep High School up in Ojai, California. And then I did that for a year, and I met a guy there that had worked Coach Wooden's camps. And he gave me a brochure, and I applied. I went to Coach Wooden's camps as a kid. And I applied to work there, did the first summer as a counselor. Then the next summer, about halfway through, they promoted me to what was called the head counselor, which is basically the assistant director of the camps. So about four, and there was more than one of us. I ended up doing it the entirety of the time that he had the camps there. And at California Lutheran College in Thousand Oaks. And that's really how it came to be. Now, the big perk working Coach Wooden's camps for me when I was when you have the head counselor job, the big perk was you picked him up every morning and you took him home every afternoon. And it was during that time that we got to be pretty close. That's about a half hour drive from Thousand Oaks to his condo in Encino. And so we got to know each other pretty well. It was during that time also his beloved wife, Nell, had passed away. And so Coach was very open during that time. And we got to be, he obviously was a confidant. He obviously was my mentor in many ways. He was like my second father. But at the same time, he became a friend. And we brought him back here to Kalamazoo. As a matter of fact, to Western Michigan, he spoke at a fundraiser for us in 2006 to help our team take a foreign trip, and it just became a wonderful relationship. It got to a point where, oh gosh, there was probably a time where, you know, not two or three weeks went by that I didn't speak to him, whether it be about life, whether it be just checking in with him, or whether it be basketball-wise. And I'll tell you, Doug, you know, if you had ever spent any time around Coach, and what most people know him now as is, you know, the pyramid of success. You know, that's what is really carried over as part of his legacy. There are people teaching, you know, the pyramid of success everywhere in different versions of it. And certainly, and rightfully so. But at the same time, when you got Coach involved, even as he got a lot older, when you got Coach involved in a conversation about basketball, his eyes changed. I mean, the competitiveness really came back. His jaw got set, and he became competitive again, and he loved to talk basketball still.
What was the most interesting thing he said about basketball?
Oh, boy. You know, where do you begin there? I think that the biggest things that I took away from him on the basketball front was one time he told me it took him about anywhere between 3 and 4 hours to plan a 2-hour practice. And he put as much time planning his practices, much longer planning his practices than he did actually conducting them. And so, you know, that was one thing that hit me. So the preparation part, he took careful. Here's something crazy. You've been around basketball your whole life, Doug. Here's something crazy to think about. You have, you know, back then practices started on October the 15th, you know, and whenever the games began, I don't know, but let's say you had a month, before practice. They never scrimmaged except for one day a week. He felt like playing was a privilege. And so it was all about preparation. And, then when he, and during those scrimmages leading up to the first game, he would make sure that everybody, you know, of course, this is back also when you had a freshman team and a JV team, he would make sure that everybody had played the exact same amount of minutes in scrimmage time against everybody else. And with everybody else, he didn't want anybody to have an unfair advantage. For instance, okay, well, you got to play with, at that time, Louis Alcindor, so you looked a lot better. Or Bill Walton, so you looked a lot better. He made sure that everybody had the exact same amount of time. His preparation was something that really stood out to me.
Why did he retire when he did? It felt like he retired so early. He had so much more to offer.
You know, I've heard him answer that a million times. I don't have anything. I really, you know, in all of those conversations in the car, I mean, in the morning we were together, or we were alone a lot, because it was so early when you picked him up. Mm-hmm. And it was just, the majority of the time it was simply, a conversation about what had happened, giving him an update on camp. But in the afternoon, that was the time that you were almost never alone with him. That's when he used that amount of time for interviews. It could be a sports writer, it could be a coach, it could be anybody that wanted to do an interview with him. I would pick him up there at Cal Lutheran, and we would drive to Encino, and I got to hear all of those questions asked and to hear him answer all of those. And whenever it came to that question about retirement, his answer was unwavering. He said that until that game, until the semifinal game, that year in 75, I believe it was, that he mm-hmm. retired, when they won, he was on his way to the media. And before he went into the media, he said that he really...
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Michelin tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Michelin test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HEARD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HEARD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
He told the team that he loved them and that they had been one of the easiest teams he had ever had to coach. And that was something to say for the very last team that he would ever coach at UCLA. And everybody was shocked. And he said that he did not know he was even going to say it until he said it. And he knew it was the right thing to do, and he never regretted it, never looked back.
So you get there in the morning. Is he a coffee guy? Was he a tea guy? Did he smoke cigarettes? To me, that's more interesting than anything else. Like, what was, you pick up the old coach in the morning? I know he had a new. I'm sure he had a newspaper at the time. What was that like?
Yeah, no, it was a, to the best of my knowledge, I don't know if he woke up in his condo, if he drank a cup of coffee or anything along those lines, but the reason I picked him up so early is he wanted to eat breakfast with the campers. So we would be back in time and in the cafeteria, when the campers came down, for breakfast. And so he'd go table to table, he'd talk to coaches, talk to players. The campers there, but he would actually eat breakfast there. He never drank, never smoked. As a matter of fact, it was shortly one of the most memorable days I ever had was the first time, really in my life, was the first time I got invited into Coach's condo. And it was shortly after his wife had passed away. And we were in the middle of a conversation, and it was one of the rare afternoons that I took him home with nobody else in the car. And so as we approached his condo, he said, "Well, Steve, do you have to get back to camp?" And then he goes, "Well, what am I thinking? The camp is named after me." He said, "You can come on in." And he said, "Just tell the two directors, a guy named Hector Macias and another one named Hal Mitrovich." He said, "Just tell Hector and Hal that I kept you." So I went into his condo and we talked, and he introduced me to his favorite cocktail that day, which was Welch's grape juice with 7-Up. And that was about as heavily as he ever drank.
Get right to the romance and find the way to wow this Valentine's with 1-800-Flowers.com. From classic roses and bouquets to decadent chocolate-covered berries, gourmet treats, and more, surprise your Valentine with 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, get the 18-stem Enchanted Rose Medley for $39.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for $10 more. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council. Look through your children's eyes to see the true magic of a forest. It's a storybook world for them. You look and see a tree. They see the wrinkled face of a wizard with arms outstretched to the sky. They see treasure in pebbles. They see a windy path that could lead to adventure. And they see you, their fearless guide through this fascinating world.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
What about his coaching style did you use in the way in which you've coached?
Not a lot of it. In terms of style, there were a lot of the teachings here at Western Michigan that I base things on. His definition of success, I actually have a tattoo on my right arm of his definition of success. And so we based, and we took it to recruiting, we took it to everything we did, and I've tried to do what I could to base my life around it. And it drives me, it really drives me daily. We put it on everything in the locker room and so forth and so on. But so his teachings, and then his fairness, his sense of fairness. So the general things, Doug, were the takeaways. The specifics, it wasn't like we ran the high post offense. I was not able to stay away from the cursing that Coach Wooden stayed away from. He would never curse, things like that. And so I wasn't able to stay away from that. But in terms of the general principles, yes. I mean, his definition of success, success is peace of mind, which is a direct result of self-satisfaction, which comes from knowing you did the best to become the best you're capable of becoming. And I've tried to live by that. It doesn't matter. The scoreboard, as you know, the scoreboard can lie to you. You can win a game and play terribly. If you played an inferior opponent, you can lose a game and feel great because I don't want to say great, but you can feel better about it because, if the Western Michigan Broncos were to play the L.A. Lakers 100 times, they're going to lose 101 games. But in some games, you can play better than in others. You have no control over your opponent. You do have control over your effort, your concentration, your desire, your preparation. Those are things, those are standards. Those aren't goals. Those are standards. And there's a major difference between the two. And so living up to a standard was way more important than reaching the goal of, say, 20 wins. You have no control over injuries, things like that. You just So preparation and desire and things along those lines were the main things I took away from Coach.
You were the head coach at Quincy, and it's in Illinois for people who don't know where Quincy University is. You'd been an assistant there. You left, went to St. Andrews. You came back. You'd been, you know, a college assistant. You'd been a coach in high school and then a college assistant for a long time. What was it like to get your first head coaching job at Quincy and get to call your own plays, make your own team?
Oh, it was humbling. It's something that you really, I was 28 when I got the job. It's a Division II school in Illinois, Quincy University. I was the head coach there for 9 years, and it was in the best Division II league in the nation, the Southern Indiana. When I was at Quincy, Southern Indiana, Bruce Pearl was the coach at Southern Indiana, Kentucky Wesleyan, and he had won a national championship there. Ray Harper was the head coach of Kentucky Wesleyan. They had won championships there. Bob Valvano, Jim Valvano's brother, was the head coach at Bellarmine. There were just some outstanding coaches. Jim Weitzel, now the coach at Buffalo. He was at Lewis University. So some outstanding coaches in a great league. And Northern Kentucky was in the league. They were a Division II school at that time, now Division I in the Horizon Conference. And it was very humbling because you think you're ready. And what really happened there, and this is one of the reasons why I think whatever success I had here at Western Michigan while I was coaching here, it's so much of it, I made so many mistakes early. There wasn't a rung on the ladder that I missed coming up. You mentioned some of the stops. And there wasn't from being a freshman coach to a JV coach to a student assistant at a D1 to a graduate assistant at a D2 to an NAI school as an assistant, back to a D2 as a assistant, and then a head coach at a D2 in Quincy University for the next 9 years before I came to Western Michigan as an assistant for 3 years. And then finally a head coach at a Division I school. So there weren't too many rungs on the ladder that I missed. I've slept in cars, on recruiting trips because we didn't have the budget. And when you start making mistakes at the Division II level, especially in that first year that you're talking about, there certainly wasn't social media at the time. And sometimes the media just missed it altogether. Like calling a timeout you shouldn't have called or making a substitution that you shouldn't have made. And you learn from some of those things early on that might have cost you some games, at the time. And hopefully those are mistakes you don't make later on. But I remember being extremely humbled. You think you know it all and you're ready for the job. And then you get over there and you find out, no, this is much more difficult. And Quincy, it doesn't sound like Quincy was a basketball crazy city and community. And so it was the show. There's two big high schools there and the university was with. So it was being put into the fire in my own way, in my own little small world.
You left Quincy to be an assistant at Western Michigan under Robert McCullum. Why leave being a head coach to be a Division I assistant?
And this is one of the things that makes coaching so difficult at the college level, and that a lot of folks don't really understand. You're so reliant on everybody else to do their job also, and at Quincy University, the budget cuts were taking place. There were major budget cuts taking place. There was a change in the athletic director spot, and there was a change in the president spot. And the university had falling enrollment and it was in some trouble financially. They weren't investing in basketball. And as I said, you had a place like Southern Indiana with Bruce Pearl. They were investing. And so
there are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Yokohama tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office, install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Yokohama test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult 21 and older that dips, I'm going to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo Zero pouches. Black Buffalo's Zero pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA by American farmers for adult consumers. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. Black Buffalo Zero is all about the history and tradition of dip, but they understand the convenience and discretion modern-day consumers are looking for. Bold flavor, full pouches. Black Buffalo Zero pouches give you the versatility to consume discreetly but still keep the ritual with flavors dippers love. Mint, straight, wintergreen, peach, even blood orange, all proudly made right here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
Just did not see a good future there. Losing literally affects my health. I mean, mental, physical, all of it. The losing. And so we just weren't, we'd been to a lot of NCAA tournaments. We just weren't heading in the right direction. I felt like I was in a losing situation. So I decided to make the jump.
Okay. So, but what's that like? You go from being a head coach where you call your own shots. Now you're somebody's assistant, something you'd done before, but something you hadn't done in 9 years. How difficult was that part of the transition?
Yeah. The first week was like, what the hell have I done? You know, because I'd given up all that control. You know, now all of a sudden, you know, you get the biggest adjustment is you go from working on your own schedule to somebody else's schedule. You know, if a coach gets pissed off and you know, if your head coach gets pissed off and kicks everybody out of practice, you know, at 4:30 and says, okay, we're coming back tonight at 8 and we're going to finish practice. Well, you got to show up. You know, and it doesn't matter if you had a dinner date planned with your wife or not, a daddy-daughter dance, something like that. It's all off. You know, and so one of the biggest adjustments is just going back to working on somebody else's schedule. Now, that was the bad part of things. The good part of things was that it's back to just being basketball. It was great to not have to go in to meetings with the president or the athletic director and try and fight for your program. It was great to just be back with the guys, you know, to be back with players, player development, recruiting, film, watching film, the stuff that you love to do as a coach and spend time with players and getting to know them better on a personal level And so that was the positive part of things there as well. So there was some good and some bad that went along with it. But I was really ready for the change.
He gets the South Florida job. Robert McCollum's the head coach. He gets the South Florida job. What was the process like of getting the Western job?
Yeah, that was a difficult time right there because Western Michigan wasn't sure what they were going to do. It wasn't like they elevated me immediately. And Robert wanted an answer pretty quick about whether or not I was going to go with him to South Florida. And so I had to kind of roll the dice a little bit. And I stuck around Western Michigan. We were close to final exams. And so I stuck around Western Michigan, and I talked to the athletic director. Her name is Kathy Beauregard, is still the athletic director. I had talked to her and said, listen, I don't think it's a good time to be leaving the kids. They're in the middle of final exams. She agreed. I stayed on as an interim while they tried to figure it out. And it was about two weeks later, with the player's support. They were the ones that really helped with the whole thing. It was about 2 weeks later that I got the head coaching job. So it was a little nerve-wracking. I wasn't sure. We had done our job. You know, we had built the program when Coach McCollum was an extremely driven man, part of the George Raveling family, and was a tremendous coach and a very hard-working coach, and had really willed the program from when we first got here in 2000 to 2003, from 8 wins to then going to the NIT and winning a game, actually, before he took the South Florida job. So, you know, it's one of those deals where you do your job and you think you're going to be rewarded, and now, hang on a second, I may be without a job altogether if Robert needs to make a move down to South Florida, or if Western Michigan decides I'm not the guy, you know, where am I going to be? So, it was a tenuous time for sure.
Look through your children's eyes to see the true magic of a forest. It's a storybook world for them. You look and see a tree. They see the wrinkled face of a wizard with arms outstretched to the sky. They see treasure in pebbles. They see a windy path that could lead to adventure. And they see you, their fearless guide through this fascinating world.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go. Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Then you get the job, and you immediately do an incredible job, and you have the opportunity to go take other jobs. You know what? Okay, so now you take over at Western. It's different than... even when you took over Quincy, because when you took over Quincy, you'd been there, but you left for St. Andrews and you came back. So this is a team where you know everybody. You're the stabilizing force. You do end up getting the job and staying behind. To take me through your first year at Western.
It was surreal. The first year at Western was our best team. And so we had built a team. And then that year we ended up going 26-5. And winning the MAC and going to the NCAA tournament. So my first year as a head coach in Division I basketball, you know, all of a sudden you turn around and And we were a bit of a story that year, and one of the, you know, kind of the teams to watch out for after we got in. And I remember we had beat Kent State in the MAC championship game in 2004, and I remember the relief more than anything else that we had, because we were favored, obviously, going into it. And I remember answering a question in the press conference about, you know, what seed we were going to be in the NCAA tournament, what I thought. And I thought, and I said, I don't know. I don't really care. It's just going to be a relief to not be favored again. You know, there's been a lot of pressure on the guys and on us, and everybody joked about it. And then our first round opponent was Vanderbilt, and through the media types, everybody started picking us as an 11 seed over Vanderbilt as a 6 seed. We actually went into the game as a favorite again, and so it was a strange, surreal year. All of a sudden, you walk, you know, you dream of these kind of things, but next thing you know, you walk out on the practice court, you know, and there's 4,000 or 5,000 fans there to watch you practice. And we were down in Orlando that year, so it was a very strange feeling. It's almost an out-of-body experience, you know, when you're walking out onto the court for the first time in the NCAA tournament. And we had a tremendous team with some great kids that I'm still in touch with to this day. You know, talked with one of the guards on the team just 2 days ago, Brian Snyder, and so it was just a very memorable year, a very special year.
Yeah, Mike Williams was great in that game. Yeah. Mario Moore, lit you guys up a little bit. how much do you remember about the game? You mentioned Snyder. He obviously struggled. I checked the stats, 1 for 9, did have 6 assists. You know, you had Ben Reed, who went on to become your best player the following year. Here's what I'm interested in. So the next year you go to the NIT, and then you have a very young team for a couple of years. Was it more rewarding? I think it was about 4 years later, you end up winning the MAC and you win 20 games. Right. Which was more rewarding, getting that NCAA tournament, the relief in your first year, or rebuilding it and winning the league about 5 years later?
Yeah, we were winning. We had won some MAC West titles. I think we won 8 MAC West titles in 17 years I was the head coach. And it was something like that, 7, 8, 9, I don't remember. But the 2014 was the last time we won the MAC overall and in the MAC tournament. And I think that there was, each of them are special in their own way. The first one was always obviously special, and it was a crazy year, me taking over as head coach. But the 2014 team was not favored at all to win it. And we had some great players. Shane Whittington was our center, went on to play for the Pacers for a while and is still playing in Spain. We had some outstanding players on that team, and it was a great team. They really shared the ball well. And so that one, there was a relief, and there was certainly a pleasure. I was able to enjoy that, I think, more than the first one, because I remember sending there Larry Farmer, was my assistant coach, the longtime UCLA legend. He was one of my assistant coaches at Western for 6 years with me. And we stood on the court as the celebration was occurring and people started to cut down nets and all of that kind of thing. And both of us were able to really kind of take in the moment, you know, and so I'd say I appreciated that one probably a little bit more. The first one was more fun. The second one was probably more appreciated.
You know, it's interesting. The 14 squad, I called your games in Puerto Rico. Whittington, yeah. I'm going to say he was a sophomore. You also had Matt Stainbrook, who went on to be kind of a star at Xavier, you know, lost some weight and he played, you know. So it's interesting because I remember sitting with you and you said, look, this kid Whittington is going to be really, really good in a couple years. But, you know, when you're calling, and I hadn't called a ton of MAC games, so, you know, you kind of got to trust your judgment on, just trust me, in a year or two, this kid has a chance to be a pro. You're like, whoa, hold on, coach. Wait a second. I know you love your kids, right? I want to ask you, though, about now the landscape. I mean, you were one of the first to lose one of your best players to the transfer up, right? Now, a lot of times it's a grad transfer, but sometimes it's a regular transfer. Like here you are at a MAC school, and you didn't leave when you had the opportunity to. Now student athletes are offered the opportunity, whether it's grad transfer, regular transfer, to transfer up a level from, you know, MAC to Big Ten or whatever. What are your feelings about where we are now as opposed to when you started at Western in terms of the transfer culture?
You know what, Doug? And by the way, I got to commend you on your memory, because, I mean, going back to Hawaii and you calling those games.
Puerto Rico. It was Puerto Rico. And I remember it's Puerto Rico. And we also, is we went out. I went out to dinner with like the referees one night, and it was amazing. Like, I learned so much more about these referees that I've been killing on air for like 10 years. And I ended up loving these guys. We're having mojitos, and they know everything about the teams. They know who's good, who's not, who's an a-hole, who's not. Like, it was amazing. But, right. Yes, of course, I remember, I hadn't seen you in forever, and I got a chance to call three of your games.
It was a lot of fun. And I remember also, you did, if you remember going back, you did a tournament in Hawaii, the Rainbow, or not the Rainbow,
yep.
But the yep. Diamond
no,
Head.
The Diamond Head.
Yeah, and you were, I remember catching you one morning, you were taking surfing lessons.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Continental tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Continental test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult 21 and older that dips, I'm going to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo Zero pouches. Black Buffalo's Zero pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA, by American farmers for adult consumers. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. Black Buffalo Zero is all about the history and tradition of dip, but they understand the convenience and discretion modern-day consumers are looking for. Bold flavor, full pouches. Black Buffalo Zero pouches give you the versatility to consume discreetly but still keep the ritual with flavors dippers love, mint, straight, wintergreen, peach, even blood orange, all proudly made right here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
So So
with my wife on Christmas Day. That's right. With my wife on Christmas Day, we took surfing lessons. That's a good. That's a good.
Right.
See, I'm not the only one with a good memory.
Well, see. I've been doing my own research. I'm getting ready. I've mentioned to you. I'm getting ready to start my own podcast here in a couple of weeks, most likely. And obviously, I'm hoping you return the favor and come on. But,
sure.
But preparation's the key. That's what I keep hearing. So
it absolutely is. Okay, so why didn't you ever leave? You had opportunities. You had like 14. You win the league. You're doing a great job. You have no flaws in terms of NCAA stuff where guys can't hire you. You've coached in the Midwest. You have West Coast roots. Why stay?
It's harder to answer that question now and be honest with you at because of what has taken place. I was let go at Western Michigan. On March the 11th, after 20 years at the school, had I known that it was going to end that way, I probably would have left a lot earlier. So that's the end of it. The real part of it, while I was going through it, it was Coach Wooden. Coach Wooden's words came back to me over and over. They still do come back to me. I remember when I took over at Western Michigan, and all I kept hearing from the local fan base, and this meant something to me. I mean, I realize you've got a national audience, but it meant something to me. And when the fans are coming to you and they're saying, please don't use my school, the alumni, please don't use my school as a stepping stone. Please, please, please don't do this. And I realized what the MAC was. And I did have opportunities, but I remembered that. Yeah, I remembered the loyalty part of things. I remain loyal to the university. I like living in Kalamazoo. For people that haven't been here, it's like the beer capital of Michigan. There's brew pubs everywhere, and so it's just. And I'm a beer drinker and a chicken wings kind of guy, And so I was happy. And the old saying, "Don't mess with happy," and we were winning. But over the course of time, the facility became a real issue. The investment in the program just stopped. It's kind of one of those situations where if it isn't broken, don't fix it. When I look back on it now, Doug, if I were to be able to forecast in the future and I had a crystal ball, yeah, I would have taken one of those opportunities a long time ago. But I also can't say that I regret it. Because I read an interview with Jack Nicholson of all people a long time ago, and it was kind of, they were throwing a topic out at him, and it was in Esquire magazine. They were throwing topics at him, and he would just kind of spout off about it. And the topic came up of regret. And he said, "What's the point?" He said, "I don't believe in regret. It's not productive." And that has always stuck with me. I feel the same way. I don't regret it. I would have missed out on coaching a ton of wonderful kids that I have great relationships with to this day. That has meant as much to me as everything else. But professionally speaking, I think there's an old adage in coaching, which is, it's a hell of a profession and it's a terrible business. And I would agree with that. It's a tough business to be a part of. If you go back to the first part of our segment, Doug, when we were just talking about it's winning. There are so many elements that have to come together. There are so many people that have to do their job. And I'm not talking about just the coaches and the players, all of the support people, athletic director, associate ADs, the marketing people, everything that helps you with recruiting. It's all about recruiting. And that's why you see, it was Adolph Rupp a long time ago that said you can't win the Kentucky Derby with a jackass. All of this comes down to recruiting, and you have to have the facilities in today's world to attract these 16-year-old kids that are on your campus. I mean, the old days of doing it where you come in and you do a home visit and you spend a lot of time maybe in the home or they have a full official visit and they take the full 48 hours. A lot of these kids make their minds up on their unofficial visits. And so that, I mean, there are very few kids now that take their full five official visits. So they come in on an unofficial visit and they spend maybe a day, maybe an afternoon on your campus. You've got to hope that everything goes well during that time, or maybe they come in for a football game. You really need to show them, and they need to see the right things at that time, and they make their mind up in a hurry. And so the bells and the whistles, that's why you see what Clemson football does, or what some of the practice facilities that have taken place, you know, in the basketball world, and all the bells and whistles that go into those. You know, again, looking backwards, yeah, it would be easy for me to say to take the money at another place. At one of the times that I was offered to go someplace else. But at the same time, I remain loyal, and I can sleep on a soft pillow because of that.
Tell me about the podcast that you're developing.
Podcast. So I'm in the process. One of the unfortunate situations is that with being let go in March during the middle of a pandemic is that no coaching jobs opened up. You know, and so I was one of the few fortunate, how about if we put it that way, ones to be let go in the middle of a pandemic. And so what I've had to do, I mean, I'm not a guy that sits still well, and so I'm in the process of trying to figure out what I'm going to do for the next year and whether or not I really do want to stay in coaching. And so to cut all the way through a really long story, the thing that kept coming back was podcasts. People kept telling me to start a podcast because of some of the observations you just brought up about referees. Like, I want to peel back some of the layers of the basketball world, of college basketball. It'll be basketball-centric, but it will focus a little bit more on the eccentric than just basketball. So I'm going to talk with coaches, certainly around the country, but get into more of the personal part of things. I want to talk with coaches' wives. You know, what's it like to sit up in the stands and hear people screaming at your husbands? You know, or what's it like when your husband loves a player and you don't think he's very good? You know, kind of thing. We'll get into the officiating world. So anyway, one of our big philosophies that I've had here at Western Michigan and developed is next possession. It's a metaphor for life. It's also obviously applicable in the basketball world. No matter what happens, you have to get to the next possession. If you score a bucket, you got to get back on defense. And, you know, same thing in life. You know, you get let go from a job, or God forbid there's a death in your family. Eventually you got to get to the next possession. And so the podcast will be called The Next Possession, with Steve Hawkins. And I'm in the process. I'm trying to do things that you're doing right now. I have no idea what kind of microphone to buy. You know, I had no idea what a pop pad was. I don't know any of these things. So I'm in the process of trying to figure that out right now. But we think we have the guests lined up. We have some guys that are ready to go. And I'm real excited about it. But yeah, it's going to be a way to kind of peel back. And then hoping to do some games, hoping to get behind the microphone and do some games, assuming we have a basketball season this year.
I can't wait to hear it. I would love to be a guest. Last thing. How have you handled, especially that first conversation when you come home? You've been a place 20 years, you know, it's all you have two little girls, right? That's all they ever knew was Western Michigan Bronco basketball and your wife. How do you, like, you know, you've handled that with players before, you know, giving them disappointing news, whatever. But when it's your wife who has been through all of it, you know, the good, the bad, your kids, that's all they ever know is Bronco basketball. How do you handle that at home?
It was very difficult, especially with the kids. You know, my wife and I, we knew, you know, for a while, excuse me, my wife and I knew for a while that this was a possibility. There was, the support was starting to go. They didn't offer me a contract 2 years ago, when I was up for renewal, and the school was in was and is in some serious financial trouble. And so cutbacks were coming, and major cutbacks were coming. We were being told by our athletic director to all sports. And this was before the pandemic. So when the pandemic actually hit, now it's you know, probably three, four, five times worse. But it was still a possibility, and we knew that. But I was probably getting expensive for the cutbacks that were getting ready to happen. And so, but at the same, so for me personally, because of some of the things we talked about, Doug, earlier, where you know, you're having to go in and fight with the athletic director and the sure. president every day about your program and what you need to succeed and to maintain. When I got let go, it was like, okay, well, there's some relief that I don't have to do that anymore. You know, I became happy, and now I've got a whole nother set of problems.
Yep.
You know, but getting out of a loser and getting out of a losing situation now has just occurred. They've made the decision for me. Now telling my kids, that's a whole different thing. You're right. Because when I tell them that we're no longer going to be at Western Michigan, my daughter, Emily, who's 9, and my other daughter, Alyssa, 7, and then I have a 14-year-old stepson, you know, the tears were really, really difficult to handle. I had to explain to them that this is, and you got to spin it, you know, to your own family. This is going to be a good thing. Daddy's going to be home more. I'm not going to be on the road as much. That part of things, that was the single hardest thing that I had to do, is to watch your family break into tears. And then the other hardest part was just the players. It was a very emotional locker room. I don't think they expected it to happen. And so, you know, you also have 14 kids' lives and their families that go up in the air with this. Also, all of their futures become uncertain. You basically have, we had 2 seniors, you basically have 12 free agents. You mentioned transfers. So you have 12 free agents in today's world as well. 2 of those kids, even after they named the head coach, the new head coach, who was a former assistant. Even after they named him, we had 2 players that decide to leave. Brandon Johnson's going to Minnesota, and Mike Flowers is going to South Alabama. Those were our 2 leading scorers. So it's very difficult to watch everybody go through all that. But yes, your family, by far the most difficult thing with the kids. You know, I'll survive. You know, I'm a survivor when it comes to that stuff, and really, really looking forward to the next year of the podcast, whatever else comes my way. And then we'll get to next spring. If I'm really enjoying what I'm doing, then I'll stay in it. If I'm not enjoying it and coaching presents itself again, I know coaching is not out of my blood. You know, it stayed in your dad, forever and in your life. So, that part of things is still there for me for sure also.
Hawk, you're a good man. You're even better coach, or a good coach, even better man. I really appreciate you joining me. I can't wait to be on your podcast and to find out what's next. And I'm guessing it'll be a sideline somewhere in the future. In the meantime, take care of those kiddos and your wife, and thanks so much for joining me.
Doug, you're the best, my friend. I appreciate you having me on. Enjoyed it.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Great to catch up with Steve Hawkins, really good dude who obviously, it's like a traumatic time, right? Like you go through getting fired. I guess the good news is you go through getting fired, but all these years you had spent working and grinding and out in the road recruiting, and now you get to spend time with your kids, and now he's done it, and we'll see what happens in the future. Hope you enjoyed getting a chance to know his story, which is really amazing, being essentially the chauffeur for John Wooden, right? To being the head coach for 17 years at Western Michigan and in his mid-50s, having a chance to go on and coach somewhere else in the near future. Hey, thanks so much for listening, downloading, subscribing. Don't forget to rate us. I'm Doug Gottlieb, and this is All Ball.
The cat sat on the mat. If you love to be remembered as the person who gives the best birthday gifts, I'm here to tell you that 1-800-Flowers.com is your ultimate birthday gifting destination. 1-800-Flowers has thoughtful and artfully created options that are guaranteed to deliver the best birthday surprise. Shop thousands of unique gifts at 1-800-Flowers.com for exclusive offers and great values. To order today, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Dakovis is your stop before attending your next concert. All Dakovis boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Dakovis has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Dakovis store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. I love it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Dakovis.com. Stores are great, but it's TECOVAS.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.